Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Wake Up African People, and this is the Truth Doctor, along with Brother B and Astro Ra, coming to you tonight with the issue that is now on the front line, and that is the homosexual revenge over Proposition 8. And we're going to talk about this because I've been hearing, the Truth Doctor's been hearing and seeing a lot of strange things going on ever since this marriage thing was ratified by Obama and, you know, the Senate, the White House, the Supreme Court, whoever was behind it. It has opened up a can of worms that we may not be able in this decadent country to put the lid back on. This homosexual marriage has opened up the boy-man sex. It's opened up the man-animal sex. This thing has opened up so many possibilities of everybody claiming that they have a right to do what they want to do. that is not funny. And this is just exactly how it happened in Rome, in Greece, and everywhere that the Caucasian was, in Britain, in France, in all these countries. Homosexuality is already legal, and they already getting married, and they already got the animal sex. I mean, the animal sex thing was so big in Germany, they had to close it down. People didn't want to have sex with people no more. They wanted to have sex with Fido and Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin, you know, and Mr. Ed. You know, this stuff is going completely insane. We are living in the hells of North America, in the hells of the world that's being controlled by the decadent white so-called civilization. And we are coming here tonight to show you and to tell you how all this stuff is affecting you, affecting your children, affecting their very life, and that how it's all connected to one agenda called population control. Global 2000, they signed it in the 90s. They signed it. I mean, it might have been in the 80s even, when Jimmy Carter was president. They signed it into law for everybody in every country that signed on to the bill to get rid of some of their people. They even made the Georgia Guildstone and put it in front of your face how many people they wanted on earth by a certain date. We sleep, people. We better wake up. We better not let this thing come into your house if you can. Straighten your children out before they go to these schools, because they're teaching it in the schools, an alternative lifestyle, and they're promoting it on TV. Get your kids away from these TV. Put you some DVDs in or some black movies, some positive African stuff, some positive anything other than watching these programs. And now you cannot even turn on the TV without seeing gay stuff all day long. I mean, you got to kind of weed around it now so bad. You never even used to see back in the day heterosexuals in the bed together. You remember the Honeymooners and I Love Lucy and them. They ain't even sleep in the same bed. But now they got gays on TV kissing and hugging and in the same bed, the new normal, and all this type of stuff. And they're pushing it down your throat because they want you dead. They want you as a people to be reduced to a number that they can manage because they're not being born. And they're using a black man, a half black man anyway, named Barack Obama, to push this thing all around the world, into Africa, into Asia, everywhere but into Russia. They won't let it in because their people are so degrading that they don't have that many people. They even got a day that they pay people to go home and have sex. They pay you to make babies there, white babies. Now, so we are dealing in some diabolical scheme to get rid of black people because the resources of the earth is at they had a limit. They can't go forever. And they're seeing this. They're seeing that the oil fields are drying up. They see that the uranium fields are drying up. They see that all these things that they want and they didn't have in Europe and in this dreadful place they come from. But you were blessed to have it all under your feet in Africa. But your blessing has became a nightmare because everybody wants what you have and they're not willing to pay the price for it. Astro Black, play the clip.
Yes, good evening, brothers and sisters. Stay strong, stay black. Just to provide context for the situation where we're in politically currently, I think it'd be helpful to take a step back and take a trip back in time. Back in the fall of 2004, a young Barack Obama was on the Senate campaign trail in Illinois, and you will see the difference in how his political message and his political stance as far as gay marriage has changed. On September 8, 2004, then Senator Obama was fielding questions about the issue of gay marriage in Illinois, and this is what he had to say.
Gay relationships, what is your position there? He's got this, he says, the Bible says, as a matter of logic, it's not right because you're supposed to be about procreation or whatever. What is your
You know, I've been very, I have been very clear on this. I have said that I am not a supporter of gay marriage. I think that the term marriage itself has strong religious roots and a strong tradition that means something special to people in this country. I am a strong supporter, however, of gays and lesbians not being discriminated against, having the ability to visit each other in hospitals, having the ability to transfer property to each other, and as a consequence, I support civil unions. And I've repeated that position and have been consistent in that position throughout the primary and throughout the general election.
So, gay people, then, is, I mean, as a matter of policy or as a matter of law, they can officially establish their union?
They could establish a union that would carry with it some legal rights that I think all of us agree with. Well, not all of us. Mr. Keyes obviously doesn't. Many of us, I think, believe is only fair and just. And, you know, in the same vein, you know, I have been interested in making sure that gays and lesbians are not discriminated when they apply for a job or they seek to obtain housing. You know, those are positions that I think are consistent with the civic religion of this country, which is that you know, we don't discriminate against people on the basis of status.
What about all the privileges, though, that flow from marriage statutorily and legally? Would you put any restrictions on such privileges flowing from civil
health insurance? I mean, obviously, marriage by itself confers a whole set of rights and privileges, and they're not done piecemeal. Once you are married, all these privileges and rights flow. I would not necessarily match each and every one. I think that, you know, what we should do is take a look at a particular legal status that's conferred by marriage and say, is this fundamental enough? Is this important enough to make sure that people have basic rights, that it's something that should be conferred to gays and lesbians as well?
Okay. So, paying attention, very close attention to the language that he's using. I mean, he's talking about civil unions, but he was definitely made a very clear point in saying that he did not support gay marriage, and that that marriage in itself, by definition, is something that's very opposite of what we're seeing now as far as his political rhetoric in Washington around the support and legalization of gay marriage nationwide. And so, but also, this was a young senator who had not gotten the millions upon millions of dollars worth of campaign funds from Wall Street and other large multinational corporations that he did when he took the presidency. So now he's beholden to a whole new brand of shareholders as far as his campaign and his political rhetoric is concerned. And so we're seeing that very huge transition happened between now, 2015, and just 11 years earlier in 2004.
True. And, you know, this union, everything has a harbinger. The civil union was a harbinger to bring this gay thing on. And Barack Obama already knew what he was going to do. He was taken to the Bilderbergers. That's the people that all the presidents and everybody got to go see before they even get into office. Shadow government that we talk about, that people call Illuminati and all that stuff. You know, I don't think they're illuminated, because if they were illuminated, they would be doing the right thing. You know, and, you know, the Illuminati and all these names they call them, I call them the beast of the beast. They're the head beast of the house. And they go there and they tell them what the agenda is going to be even before they get into the White House. Because ain't no president since George Washington that I know of, I'm strong, I'm standing to be corrected, you can contact me or you can go in the inbox on our Facebook page or the chat box, has been elected into office by the popular vote since George Washington. It's an electoral college, and most people don't even know what the electoral college is or even understand, because black people are truly politically illiterate. And I don't mean to be harsh on our people, but it's the blatant truth, because we don't come together as a block and vote. But there's one thing, and I've heard the Irritated Genie said this, and he was on our show, we had him on here twice, he said that it's one thing that he sees that black people can unite under, which we really, basically, it's been taboo for black people, even still today in Africa. They have to force it, and we're going to go there later on and show you how Uganda responded to the gay onslaught. And they have been pushing this thing worldwide. It's not just in America. It's all over the world. And if y'all hear my grandbaby in the background, I'm babysitting tonight. The truth doctor does babysit his grandkids. So if you hear the little ones, they learning just like we are. Now, the thing is that they brought this thing in for population control. The gays, I don't want to like kind of touch on them and hate on them like that, because a lot of these people are weak, just like Negroes are basically weak for everything the white man say. They put a pair of sneakers out. Negroes trampling each other for sneakers. They put some type of DVD out or some video game. They trying to kill each other. We're being controlled and manipulated by social engineering. That's on the television, on the billboards, and the music is everywhere now. Every facet of life, the school you go to, everything is part of the social engineering tool in order to get people to follow suit. What they're going to do, and Astro's going to touch on that, because he was in California. When all this came down, he was living in California. So he's going to touch on how the black people were against it, how they voted for Proposition 8, and it's also made the homosexuals' revenge we're talking about come out and start saying that the new black is gay, that the new civil rights is gay, that everything about their movement is a mirror to the movement that we had in order to ride on the front of the bus, to drink out the white man's water fountain, to swim in the white man's pools, even to swim in the same damn ocean park that they in. And it's all the same, but they had the ocean mapped off where Negroes couldn't swim in a certain part of the ocean. That's how bad it was. But I don't think that we should have even went for all this stuff. We should have just went our own way and did our own thing. But we're starting to realize today we should have done. So now we're trapped in the decadence. We're trapped in everything that whites push. We're trapped as a people for their ideology and their upbringing and their social norms and everything has become ours. One of our so-called leaders elected by them chose to stay here and to fight to be in this madness. Brother Bartley, the mic is yours.
Yeah, just listening to the program, I would like to say, give a shout out to all the people that's on the panel. Is Brother Kamau there?
No, Professor Gilliam is coming on next. We have Professor Gilliam.
Okay. Professor Gilliam?
To later.
Yep, I'm here.
And Brother Astro Rock, from listening to what he was saying about President Obama, before he even got in the Senate, someone had asked him, I think it was in 1999, how he felt about gay marriages or, you know, same-sex marriage. And he was for it. His wife told him, you know, his wife pushed him into it also to be for that, for gay marriage. Now, according to my way of thinking, I'm a naturalist. I believe in nature. And in nature, you do not see two lion males mating. You do not see two chimpanzees mating, okay? So it's written in the natural code of animals and also us, because we are a higher form of animals. Now, to push same-sex marriages and all that kind of nonsense is against my belief. I'm a naturalist. I believe in nature. So therefore, I have to be against same-sex marriages. There's no compromise on that. You see, if you observe nature, then there's no compromise. But when you get into this political nonsense that's being pushed on our people, you can say that it's part of the eugenics or population control or whatever. But it is a dangerous position, and it is the downfall of Western civilization. I was reading today that 23 countries, European countries, matter of fact, already have approved gay marriages. So the United States now is also in those numbers. That is ridiculous. And when you look at the church, the foundation of Western civilization, you have to say, well, the church is going along with it. Most of these black ministers have been silenced because they're receiving FBI funds. They're also chartered by the state. So their silence is one of duress and coercion. You see, I believe if black people had to make, had a plebiscite and voted on that same question of same-sex marriages, I think that we would be opposed to it. It's in our nature to be opposed to it because, remember, we have the blood of Africa running in our veins, and the Africans nowhere in history have Africans been known to indulge in that anti-nature or natural behavior. That behavior is anti-civilization. So, in essence, you're either for civilization or anti-civilization. So as far as I can see, as far as the foundation of the nation based on the Christianity and the Bible, that you might as well take the Bible and throw it in the trash can because it's useless. So now you have a lot of people that's disillusioned. They don't know what is right and what is wrong, you see. So the brother Ock attributed to social engineering. Yes, it's social engineering, because when you look at how they project through the media that it's okay now to be gay, it's okay to do some of the things that's anti-nature, you see. So I'm looking at it as that the civilization that we have known throughout our lives is now in peril. And most people, especially the religious community, is standing on the sideline watching this thing happen. So how effective can they be with their congregation or with young people? Young people are falling for the trap, and most of the media now is geared towards young people. So now you see more young, I'm talking real young, young people are exhibiting this behavior because the media is pushing this behavior. You see, so it's a very, we're living in very dangerous times. And, you know, we have to really, really take note that if we, as a group of people, African people here in America, do not take our political future in our own hands, then we are going down with the ship. That's the bottom line. We have to make a stand, and we have to make it now. And the only recourse we have is the same recourse that the homosexuals use or the gay and lesbian community use. Really become politicized and understand that in order to fight this, now it's a political question. Morals, yes, you can have all the morals you want. But in this type of government and system, it's about you taking responsibilities for what you believe in and going to the polls and show what you believe in by voting for your own agenda. This is what we have to start doing. Start thinking about getting as many people registered to vote and let them know that now for real is vote like your life depend on it, because it does. And if we are going to stay in this country and live under this rule, we're going to have to take responsibility for executing our own agenda. And that's the way I feel for now. I'll be listening for other comments on it.
Yes. And you know that some of our people don't really believe in the political process, and you can't blame them, but it's all been, far as the truth doctor is concerned, as our political ignorance. But I'm not talking about politics, voting for the president or voting for your local people. We first have to build a political organization within our own midst, and inside our own community. Like the brother said, we have to get a plebiscite and go to door-to-door, grassroots movement, and push this to our people, push it in the churches, push it in the mosques, if you can get in there, in the black synagogues, in the streets, everywhere you can find a Negro. We need to be out there on the streets. All this straight-up Internet stuff, and I'm not blaming anybody that's on the Internet trying to give out the message, because a lot of them are valid, and a lot of them are just a bunch of malarkey. And like I told you earlier, the irritated genie told me, and I heard him say this, that is one thing that we can unite on today, and that's black people dislike for this homosexual stuff. And it's been taboo. It's still taboo. They have to force African countries into this. I mean, Nigeria rejected. Uganda rejected it. I mean, most of the African countries rejected, except for South Africa. Wherever the whites are, and wherever the whites have ruled, and not just political rule, but they have rule of all the economic resources. They own and run it. So they, when you own the resources and everything, you have the ultimate power. And like politics, in my opinion, is just, you know, being able to speak your mind within this power structure. And you may get what you want, you may not get what you want. And black people have been voting for a long time, but we don't vote correctly. Like I said, we're politically illiterate. And if the voting do work, if we vote together, we will find out. Like Puerto Rico, every 8 years, they have a plebiscite to say, to find out if they're going to join America or not join America. And consistently, they have not joined America yet. And we have to understand this thing is really all about population control. And if we don't pull our people together to vote together, because we all going in all these different ways, and come together under one banner of something that we can agree upon and make our movement out of that, we're done. Your children done. They're teaching this stuff to our children in school. They have it in the cartoons that they watch and the books they read, everything. And we got to do something and get ourselves together. And I will be passing the mic now to Professor Gilliam. The mic is yours, brother.
Thank you, bro. I'm kind of out and about. I'm almost to the house, but listening to the conversation, the one thing that that sticks out in my mind as far as what you've already stipulated as far as our means of survival, especially the fact that we don't vote our own interest, we don't we do a lot of asking, and we definitely vote for people that we believe is going to do something in which they say. What they say and what their money does are two different things, and that's another thing in addition to what you're saying as far as our competency towards and for our own social, economical, and financial agenda. Our soul-based for creating fences. If we having children, what's the first thing we want our children to do? We want them to have some type of productivity towards doing something productive for others. That means we are producing workers. We're not producing intellectuals. We're not producing people that think, that ultimately put something into a course that validates itself, validates its own people, and validates itself as a group economical dynamic. The perspective that I've always looked at, and I've always taken a serious edge to as far as putting the sword into the beast one inch at a time, is to take away his most prized possession that literally gropes the rest of the world at the fingertips and at the bottom of their toes, and that's money. If you understand money, the fornastic of money can control any form of economical policy, any form of local economical policy, and most importantly, it can control the magnitude of what your particular group, as us as a group, that is, as a group of people, to say we have engineered a manifesto in which collectively we've joined into a binding agreement that no one else can force us out of. And the only engineering by its own design is by the people that interpret it, and that is a collective, just like a general government. An election is solely based on what people are voting for, not voting for the people that are in office. Those people that enter into office, as you said, an electoral vote, is not your personal vote. This is generally based on the concept that you are voting in a system that collectively works as a general policy when it really doesn't. The people in those constitutional offices, quote unquote, aren't conscripted to work for you. This is the reason why they don't answer to the public. They answer to corporations, because a good majority of their sponsorship and finances that come from those individuals from the street, they're actually voting with their money. They're putting it into the super PAC. They're putting it into the the Parenthood a company that's pretty much killing it. It's decimating close to 350 some thousand lives. Go ahead. I thought you were going to respond to that, Huru.
Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood, that's right. Those type of entities, especially that type of entity, has a absolute type of effect that endorses only one thing, and that is to annihilate anyone that opposes not what it's doing, but opposes the idea that it is doing a good job on your behalf, not on behalf of America, not on behalf of the government. That's why they sanction certain things in which they can take their hands off of. This is the reason why the federal government, when it says state rights, it means it doesn't have to involve itself. This allows the state and its people to kill each other off without any interference. They don't want to run interference, because if the Fed does that, then the federal government has to join in and show that in no way, shape, form, or fashion are these entities, the interest in which we don't find ourselves in, the parties we don't find ourselves in, and then the secret interpretation of these two groups, Democrats and Republicans, for instance, in which they have a singular purpose for these financial instrumentalists, which is to annihilate both parties while sensationalizing themselves. I mean, it's almost like David and Goliath inside of Rome's capital center, trying to kill each other. But at the end of the day, it's the people doing this. And I'm not going to say a general host, because we are unfortunately allowing the host to consume us. The basis of our money, what we consume, what we solicit, and what we want to benefit from, we do not vote with. That means if you're voting, you should have an entity set by a group of people, a large body or small bodies, but always have pockets of these bodies in which, in a group sense, you have one agenda, your own agenda. It says, we want this. This is what our money does. This is what our money will do. We've transcribed it. We've written it out. We put it on the wall. If you don't want to take our agenda, then we won't vote for you. But we're not going to vote for you with our signatures. We're not going to vote with you with our money. So we need two things that are most important: economical understanding of the grievance system, which allows us to solicit what we already are having a problem with, and then introducing a person or persons or groups of people that wind up saying, okay, what we'll do is we'll step completely out of what you believe we should be doing. And we're going to introduce something that you people would never be able to comprehend, which is actually quite simple. We want a stake of this, and we want absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the way these policies are working. We can indulge them. We'll benefit from them to a certain extent because we have to pay homage, but we are not going to play by the Roman rules. We're not here in Rome. We are here in a place in which you have designed and to a certain extent, you've kind of destroyed. Well, kind of. You've destroyed absolute. It's just now you're working on the body. You're working on the mind. You're working on these children, and I do not endorse you telling my child that a man and a man is okay because of political reasons, political purposes, and to indulge with the legislatures already are closet homos, whatever you want to call them. At the end of the day, they're endorsing and they have agreed to allow this thing to correspond with what they think, how they think, what they are thinking, how they want it. I mean, you're talking about an agenda out in California, for instance, this Proposition 8. Over $65 million went into no votes, and only $22 million went into a yes vote. Now, how did they win? They didn't win based on money. They won based on agenda, which was, how do you benefit from this? And when the black community says, well, as long as it benefits what they believe in, but somehow it benefits us as a general host, meaning we'll join in, then sure, go ahead and pass it. So this means you're talking another, what, out of 750,000 votes just in one particular city, if you get 60% of that vote and you only spent $10,000, pretty good. So this is how they vote. They vote with money. Money brings forth economics, which brings forth grievance systems, which then establishes one's party as an absolute. I mean, it is disturbing, and at best, it has a devastating effect. And as you can see, they've already passed the consensus for the curriculums now to be installed that gay practitioners can now indulge in, even if it's not legislatively correct. That means if they said that it has to be set in this particular tone, that's the only way you can go by legislative standards, they can undermine that. All because of what? Because they practice their agenda. And eventually their agenda is going to be beyond just being heard. It's going to be a political national statement, you know. Like they have this 2008, I believe, between 2008, 2009, and 2010. I don't remember exactly when. Time magazine put a black man on the front cover, and it said, what did it say exactly? The new gay is black. When they said that, they practically cracked the door open for all the gay agenda baiting individuals that anticipated, especially the groups, they anticipated their rise on the principle of voting for their particular agenda. When they do that, they're endorsing it. They're saying, we want you to endorse what you do, and we want to pay you to continue to do so. So these large corporations are like, hey, I want in too. And what happens after you turn around and get some endorsements and you get a decent amount of money that you've already been back with, but you're spending your money on that agenda, you're going to get results. That's what you're going to get. Okay? Now, I've been explaining this for quite some time. Who knows a bit of my history? And I have a great program, and I'm not trying to sell nothing because that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to teach you exactly what you need to know, especially when it comes down to economical, financial, and policy agenda. Without one, you're going – full annihilation is very easy to do. I mean, I couldn't make this stuff up. All right, so I pass the mic to Mr. Huru. I just had to throw my little two cents in there. Thanks, man. I'm still here, you know.
Yes, yes. So this thing here is more than just in America, like the brother told you. 27 European countries, which I really don't care. I hope they stay gay so they can annihilate themselves. I'm worried about our people and what's happening to our people, and this is an unnatural act, and we need to get our act together. And we need to control our community through politics within the community, because we don't have politics within the community. All this voting and stuff don't mean nothing. We got to control our own community through our own personal politics. And when I talk about politics, I'm not talking about deep into their politics. We have to first build within before we can do anything. Control the schools, control everything in our community through gaining wealth and unity. And, we have a surprise guest. I ain't going to tell you who he is right now, but he's going to come on. He's going to let you know what's going on. He's on a mission. and I support everything that he's doing. And we're going to bring him on. But right now, Astro Black, I want you to play the next clip.
All right, brothers and sisters. This is a clip taken from an influential and outspoken preacher in Uganda talking about the attack that his government and their social political schism has taken under attack. As far as the Barack Obama presidency and the United States in general threatening to deny them humanitarian aid because of their stance and the rejection of same-sex marriage in Uganda. Here's the clip from 2010.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Dr. Martin Semba. I'm here in the capacity as the chairman of the National Task Force Against Homosexuality in Uganda. We are making legislation to make sure that sodomy and homosexuality never sees the light of legality in this land of the Pearl of Africa. I've taken time to do a little research to know what homosexuals do in the privacy of their bedroom. One of the things they do is called anal leaking, where a man's anus is leaked like this by the other person, like ice cream. And then what happens, even poo-poo comes out. The other one poo-poo's out, and then they eat the poo-poo. The other one they do is they have a sex practice called fisting, where they insert their hand into the other man's hand, and it goes all the, into the anus all the way. And it is so painful, they have to take drugs, but they enjoy it. Now, if we have any children, please step out. This is a parental guidance moment. Hey, that child can be moved out. So I've done research. This is what they do. Number one, you can see a man here having sucked the other person's rectum, and the other person is poo-pooing, and this one is eating the poo-poo all over the place. Huh? Tell me, when you have a law against homosexuality, do you say except eating poo-poo? I mean, look at this guy sincerely. Bishop. Stand up for life. Huh? We do not want this sickness. This is sick, and it's therefore deviant. We do not want it.
Now, they start off by touching each other's genitals and smelling each other. Then this one smears the poo-poo all over the other person's face. As if that is not enough, he puts the hand deeper. As Africans, we want to ask Barack Obama to explain to us, is this what he wants to bring to Africa as a human right? To eat the poo-poo of our children.
Oh.
So this is the stance that's favorite, that's political. Go on ahead.
Go ahead, man. So I was just saying that's my favorite preacher. I mean, I ain't no Christian, nothing like that. But if it wasn't for him, that bill probably would have passed in Uganda. It's a powerful black preacher. They need preachers like that in America. Go ahead, Astro.
Right. So this is the run up to the passage of the legislation, whether or not they're going to pass the same sex and gay marriage bills in Uganda. Of course, then they failed. But Obama's relentless pressure put on the Ugandan government hasn't changed. In fact, in an article dated in February of 2014, said from Reuters, says Obama warned Uganda over anti-gay law. And the fact is that President Barack Obama warned Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni on Sunday that enacting an anti-gay law would complicate U.S. relations with Uganda and would be a step backwards for all Ugandans. A senior Obama administration official said that if legislation is enacted, the United States will review its U.S. relations with Uganda. The United States is one of the largest donors of foreign aid to Uganda, sending more than $400 million a year in recent years. And the bill was introduced in 2009 and initially proposed a death sentence for homosexual acts, but was amended to prescribe jail terms, including life in jail, for what it called aggravated homosexuality. Again, homosexuality is a taboo in many African countries. It is, in fact, illegal in 37 nations on the continent. And activists say that few Africans are openly gay, fearing imprisonment, violence, and loss of their jobs. So taking into consideration, the Obama presidency and the United States in general uses the rhetoric of supporting the human rights as their agenda for promoting same-sex marriage bills, same-sex marriage laws in foreign nations. Here, as Obama is quoted as saying, the anti-homosexuality bill in Uganda, once law, will be more than an affront to and a danger to the gay community in Uganda. It will be a step backward for all Ugandans and reflect poorly upon Uganda's commitment to protect the human rights of its people. This is the rhetoric. This is the programming. This is the propaganda that's being used. Human rights, civil rights, gay is the new black. They're using the same political line, the same speaking points all over the world. But regardless, you don't see the same political pressure and the same political rhetoric being used against other nations that are in bed with the United States, who are very firm violators of human rights, of the human rights, especially of the human rights of black people, and specifically other peoples of color. For instance, like Israel. Since it began in 1962, the American military aid to Israel has amounted to over $100 billion. That's billion with a B. So $3 or $4 million here and there to the Uganda, or $300, $400 million to Uganda for humanitarian aid is only a drop in the bucket compared to the billions of dollars that's spent in military hardware and gifted to the Israelis so they can enforce an apartheid and a prison state over indigenous Palestinians and black people, specifically Ethiopian Jews. For the past few decades, the United States has been regularly transferring aid of about $3 billion annually to the Israeli Defense Force. And so, where is the rhetoric about human rights in way that is extended to Uganda not applied to Israel? So human rights is completely disingenuous and completely dishonest to claim that you are trying to enhance the human rights and the civil rights of a population by enforcing and imposing gay rights legislation on them and threatening to remove humanitarian aid, when at the same time the world over has condemned Israel for its practices, the mobilization and incarceration and the encampment of the nation of Palestine. But the United States continually gives them billions of dollars worth of military child-killing hardware despite all of these, despite the human rights abuses of the country.
And you don't hear them saying anything about the Dominican Republic right now, where black people are being massacred. You don't hear a tweet out of them. You don't hear anything about the Congo, any other place where black people are being massacred and killed. You don't hear about too much of anything human rights abuses unless they want to get in there for the resources. Now, I'm going to bring on that guest that we had, I was telling you about, that chimed in, Irritated Genie, and there's some stuff going on with him. He has a straight pride movement going on that Wake Up African People totally 100% backs his straight pride movement. He was in Africa. I believe he was in Uganda. He's going to tell it himself. And things are going on with him establishing the movement in America. And we're going to bring him on to let you hear it from the horse's mouth, what's going on. Give me a second. Irritated Genie, the mic is yours.
Yes. All right. Well, first I'd like to say I'm honored to be on a forum with real black men. It's been a long time coming, and I'm proud to know that I still got some real brothers out there that stand for something in this country, because they sure try to drown us out and make it look like every black male you see through the media is effeminized, and these are real men, so I'm proud to be here with you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, just to let people know what's going on, about a year ago, a different group of African people around the world from different organizations, institutions, even from the UNIA, called and said that we were realizing that all of us were fighting fights, but we weren't fighting together. And we realized we had to figure out a way to combine our efforts so that we could get more done quicker. And we said, well, we can't concentrate on our differences, because if we do, we'll never be able to figure out how to come together. And so we said, what are the main things that black people have in common around the world that can do similar to what our brother Garvey did, strike a match to the spirit of African people and say, let's work together to change our conditions. And the three things that we found out that were that were still in the spirit of our people to fight, one is homosexuality and pedophilia and sexual abuse, this whole white sex assault. Our people hate it everywhere we go in the world. And all of us agree that it's creating problems that spill out beyond just sexuality into depression, drug use, interracial things, because once people have been sexually abused and get into the homosexuality, it leads to all various types of different negative things that are not helpful and useful to our people. So the first thing we said is, okay, so we got the straight part. We said, what else? We saw that people have a hard time dealing with the fact, particularly black women, that they put all of their time, energy, and effort into young brothers in particular. And then when the brother makes it and does well in the world, too many of our men go outside and marry somebody outside of the race and are looking at somebody other than a black woman as the standard of beauty. So we said we got to stop this interracial dating, because it amounts to genocide as we dilute our genetic makeup with all of the other things that are happening with our people. We all agreed on that. And then the last thing is that we have been operating since 1988 at NWA in like a death trap of degeneracy. We call each other out of our names. We call our women out of their names. We listen to music that's nothing more than death toys that tells us to kill each other and destroy each other. Bottom line is, we got to have some pride again. We got to be dignified. We are not a people that do well in a low state. We are up people. We are people that build and celebrate, do well. And so we got to develop some pride and dignity, pull our pants up to be men again and decent women again. So long story short, we decided we were going to launch a movement called the Straight Black Pride Movement, that was open to all black men and women around the world who are straight, black, and proud, meaning we don't care what your religion is. As long as you're not a homosexual or pedophile or some kind of sexual deviant, if you're straight and believe that the black man belongs with the black woman, you got a black mother and a black father, and you're proud about people and you have some pride, we can even help you get the pride with giving information and history, then you're welcome. We're not discriminating against our people based on what they know. You only got to have those three components. And we felt like we could do our best job to emulate what the most honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey did. Again, we're not saying we can do what he did, but our best job at emulating, capturing the imagination of our people with this concept and with this movement that is open to all of our people who are willing to concede to those three criteria. And we had scheduled an event at the National Black Theater in Harlem, a two-day event, Prospect Park, August 22nd, 23rd, in National Black Theater. And the homosexual saw on the Straight Black Pride Movement page that we were doing a family event under the Straight Black Pride Movement for black men, women, and children, and they said, absolutely not. We will not tolerate black men, women, and children coming together to celebrate their culture. And they told the National Black Theater that they could not have us there, from our understanding. And the National Black Theater called us up and told us we're canceling this event. And so when we told our community, because we have people coming in from England, Canada, the islands, Africa, and around the country, and this country for this event. They've already prepared for it. But we told them what the National Black Theater had done. Around the world, people have been inundating their phones and calling them up and telling them, you cannot do this. And they have ignored that. So we decided we're real men and we're real women and we love our black families and we have a right to heterosexuality among our people. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., we're going to their doorstep. And we're going there to say two things. This black institution that we've given millions of dollars to over the last 40 years, you're not going to pimp us like some prostitutes after Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and Brother Kwame Ture and Professor James Small and all of these greats have given their time, and Baba Leonard Jeffrey have given everything to keep this place alive. And now that you think you've finished with us and you got some gay friends, you're going to throw us aside like prostitutes and hookers that you had a good time with and say goodbye. We're not going to tolerate it. And number two, we're going to tell the LGBT, you don't mess with the wrong folks. We ain't no, I mean, we do have some civil rights marchers with us, but we ain't no civil rights marching group. We are strong African, black men, women, and children that not only believe, it ain't even a question about our rights to continue our bloodline and continue the love between black man and woman. And you mess with the wrong group this time because we are not going to back down from a bunch of individuals that don't know that a man's supposed to be with a woman. The rest of the country may be afraid. The rest of the world may be afraid. But as Africans, we will stand our ground. So tomorrow, in front of the National Black Theater on Fifth Avenue in Harlem, New York, at 6 p.m., we're going to be there. Right now, we're expecting at least 200 people. It'll probably be more. And we're going to be straight, black, proud, loud about it. And we're going to tell the world it's a collective group. It's not just straight, black, pride. It's not just War on the Horizon. We have Garveyites that have agreed to come, Nation of Islam. We have Orthodox Muslims, the Hebrew Israelites, Brother Polite and his team, Brother Bashir and his team, our Brother Ali Muhammad, everyone in Harlem, everyone in Brooklyn, everyone in New York and around the country, black men and women of integrity, heterosexual, straight, black, and proud people have said we will not tolerate any attacks from the LGBT. You might do that with these other groups, but you can't do that with our people. So we're hoping to see our brothers and sisters out there tomorrow and see part of history, to see black people stand up for somebody again, to see men, women, and children come together in love and blackness and without fear and with sternness and saying this is who we are and we ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. Brother Irritated Genie, can you give the address and the phone number that the people need to call if they want to join in on that?
There's not actually a phone number because it's a press conference. So it's 2031 Fifth Avenue in Harlem, New York.
And also give the number to your website and where people can call you directly.
This is what I tell people to do. Go to the Straight Black Pride Movement on Facebook and go to Didon Kimathi, which is Irritated Genie, Didon Kimathi and parentheses Irritated Genie on Facebook. All the information is right there for you. The address, the time, and any updates will be there as well on the Straight Black Pride Movement page. So it's 2031 Fifth Avenue, Harlem, New York. 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Yes, and it's going to be successful.
Also, our website is War on, well, the Straight Black Pride Movement has not put up its website yet, but War on the Horizon is just one group that's supporting it. Our website is waronthehorizon.com, and we deal a lot with what the brothers were talking about before. We call it the white sex assault, where they're trying to push homosexuality and pedophilia on our people.
Exactly. Population control and decadence, all wrapped up into one.
Yes, sir.
So, and I'm so happy that you came on tonight, and we always want you on Wake Up African People. I was calling you last for a show with you, but I know you're real busy, but you're going to get back to us when you get a chance. I know that. And
yes, sir.
We want to pass the mic now to Brother Bartley, and then we're going to come back to Professor Gillian. And then the Astro Black, and we're going to close out for tonight. Brother Bartley, the mic is yours.
Okay. Irritated Genie, good hearing from you, brother. You're doing some great work.
Thank you.
I would just like to say that we have to look at the media, which is playing a huge role in changing the opinions and everything about our black manhood. You see, when they shoot down a black man in the street, a woman smacking her son upside the head because she don't want him in a riot, that's degrading us more and more. I think this movement that the brother had is something that we need to combat the downslide of our people. And I'm looking forward to perhaps try to get to New York myself. But if not, I will definitely try to connect with that group. We need groups like that. We need people to really get involved politically, economically, socially, and educationally to uplift our people. That's all I have to say.
And personally, I feel as though the Irritated Genie is doing one of the hardest jobs that's out here now, and I want to commend him. I want to hold my black fist up high to him, and I support him. Tomorrow I have to be at the dentist, but if you riding through Philly and I can hitch a ride with you, or Brother B, I may have to put that dentist appointment off and join in on that very important press conference that they're having in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Astro Black, the mic is yours.
Yes, brother and sister. You know, actually, I thought you said you were going to go to Professor Phil.
Okay, let's go to Professor Phil first. Go ahead.
No. Age before beauty. Leave me for last.
Wait.
Go ahead, bro.
Well, yeah. I just wanted to point out how, as a people, the programming has been so clever and so persistent and overwhelming, in the fact that I remember when I first started voting in 2000, when I first turned 18, the same-sex marriage bill was defeated soundly. And it was then, over 15 years ago now, that the black people who were around me, relatives, elders, people in the community, were very firm in their rejection of same-sex marriage and gay marriage as a whole. And they all had the same political punchlines. They had all the same rhetoric. They had all the same buzzwords and speaking points. Without any exception, they all said the gospel talks about Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. These are black people who didn't spend time in the church at all, but suddenly they would rely on the Christian ethos as their justification for rejecting same-sex marriage. Then, back in 2000, and then also in 2000, and back in 2008, also saying that they wanted to protect the sanctity of marriage. The institution of marriage is only between a man and a woman. Now we fast forward 15 years later, and it's these same people who were adults then. They were in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. 15 years later, now that they have this sudden and almost supernatural and quite frankly spooky conversion that they have somehow are not aware of themselves. So now they have been completely converted 180 degrees, and now that they are supportive of gay marriage somehow. And again, these are they're using words and rhetoric and speaking points that are not their own. And they come out and saying the same nonsense and the same unjustifiable and dishonest rhetoric, saying that gay is a new black, they want to support civil rights marriage, civil rights. The civil rights and human rights on the same issues that Obama has taken in his stance in supporting and enforcing gay marriage on the population and of this planet of this population here in this country as well and other places around the world. And it's really frightening to see how the political propaganda and the corporate media matrix machine has really taken control and taken the hold of the minds of our people, especially those who are not even in their adolescence or in their formative years. These are people who are well into their adulthood and have been completely brainwashed and whitewashed, brain rinsed by a system that has not any of their interests at heart. And it's some Twilight Zone type shit, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you,
we're definitely in the Twilight Zone. Yes, we definitely are in the Twilight Zone, and the gays don't even represent a blip on the Richter scale when it comes to people and population, and they seem to get all the laws and everything passed for them. And the reason why my take is that black people fall for this because they're into the savior syndrome. And Barack Obama was presented as a savior for black people. I mean, black people were up in arms when they thought they were going to be saved. This black man's going to be president and all this. So the words that he speaks, words that he says is being mimicked by the people who still follow him today, even silently. Because they, you know, they used to be on you if you said something about Obama. You would be trashed. And you probably would have been killed when he first came into office. If you get out there and said something about Obama, an agent, or Obama is the system's puppet or whatever, or agent of the system, they would probably kill you. I mean, they came out talking about they ain't got to worry about it. They got the Obama phone. He gave him a phone. He gave him all these little goods and all these little trinkets and everything, and they follow suit. So whatever he say, they say. Whatever he believe, they believe. They put the Manchurian candidate, one that looks a little bit like you, with a white mother and a black father out of Africa, to push this issue worldwide. Because with a black face, being that the white face was so much hated, especially after Bush and all the wars in the Middle East and all that stuff, America face was looking real bad. So they put the black man's face on, even the world stood up. Germany, all these different countries, Africa, they all knew that America was going to change its evil ways because a black man was in office. But this black man has turned out to be more eviler than any white man that you can even think of in the last 50 years if you've been alive. I mean, he got drones dropping bombs on people. He got economic sanctions on people. I mean, it's just miraculous how we sit back here and just believe and follow all this social engineering and we don't see it as a people. Professor Gilliam, the mic is yours.
Yes, sir. I wanted to go back to what Astro said. And it was civil rights and privileges pertaining to what Barack Obama had said. And leaning on that, he literally took one sentence out of the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, and applied it as if though it would become eventually complicit to what he actively was going to do. So I guess you could say the harnessing power of wordplay has a very vital sign to every distinctive issue, specifically for an agenda-based ideology that eventually is going to come to fruition. In other words, someone could say something in a Senate, and it could be one sentence. Next thing you know, he's president, and now the very thing that essentially made that he said he was against, he said he wasn't against the union, but like a union, any union has a contract among each other as partners, just as well as states were unions. If you make the connection between the union between states and a country as a union between partners and the fraction of the institution agreeing with that party, it's next to saying that a union is just like a country. It implies that everything complicit to its legal negotiations has one sole base agenda, which is to do what the American people say. That is an institution collectively. individually, especially when it comes to unionizing, when it comes to separation of power, when it comes to what, for instance, the legislature refused to pass, but what the judicial sector said should be legal or abiding by, because the legislature decided, well, it's not a good idea, people aren't ready for it. But when the judicial system says yes, then all of a sudden all the states are like, oh, okay, we'll fall in. So all of a sudden, it just seems like the right thing to do when you're given rights and privileges. This is the thing that we have to equate ourselves to, especially when it comes to the divide and conquer tactic. And I think that the biggest problem and the hugest stratosphere of struggling to understand any form of propositioning the government to do anything, the one institution we are absolutely up against is your church. I'm not saying your church can be used, but your church has been abused by the likes of Hillary Clinton. Hillary and Bill paid millions to these churches to be very quiet about this sexualized bill. This, of course, meaning that every agenda-based collection that was made by the plate was your way of saying my church should be quiet on it, and that's just fine with me. So we're kind of complicit to it at the same time, because we don't know behind the scenes our own leaders, or our quote-unquote leaders, also handing us over on the plate, literally. Okay, so if they're returning the favor, then they're your enemy too. Okay, unfortunately. So just to, I guess, end it on a lighter note, I am, you know, as Uru brought me on, my name is Professor Phil. My website is www.politicsandmoneyinc.com. And of course, you can friend me through Facebook as well. Like all the speakers have said, we need to take a serious turn towards each other and begin to aim our missiles and guns in a different direction, because right now we're talking about something that is has been on the table for quite some time, and we're just clearly ignoring it. I mean, just taking a blind eye like it's not going to affect us. But when your child is gay and they went to school one day, don't ask why. Okay, this shouldn't be a question. This should be, in your mind, a conquest. What is it all about? What does it break down to? You know, how can I affect the economics of other countries that are sanctioned to go out and kill people? Go out and tell people that propagandizing about their sexuality is okay, especially if your own country's doing it. That is, if you could fabricate the line between what you think is going on and your educated sense of what the rest of the world is looking at. The rest of the world is looking at us like a lens, looking right through it. Got a ballpoint pen on the top of your head from the highest point of the globe, and they say, okay, you move like this because on ink on paper, it's just as good as saying we know who you are and we create who you are. We are exactly what you defined as a legitimate government. As long as we allow this to happen and we're telling them, yeah, we sponsor you, we give you money, we want you to do these things on our behalf, well, I can tell you this right now, like I said, economical, the feasible mechanism of growth, development, and collectivism is absolutely out of the question. I'm Professor Phil. Uru, I'm out, man. Did I do something wrong here? Am I the only one in the room? Like I got abandoned. They jumped ship. They was like, nah, Phil, going in, darling. Leave him or let him go.
People thinking about what to say, you know what I mean? After all what we've been talking about covers almost everything to be said,
yes,
about that situation. Everything was brought out, you know. And I just regret I didn't have more to say. But sometimes you don't want to get emotional, you know what I'm saying? Because these things can become emotional when you realize that you're no more than a puppet on a string, you know what I'm saying? And that you're really not, if you really do your investigation, you're nothing but a refugee. You're not a citizen. You see what I'm saying? Because we since we've been here, we haven't treated as citizens. So we need a whole bunch of things, and I think a referendum is due us because we need to choose from among ourselves who to be our spokesman. There's too many people coming out front trying to be the leaders and spokesmen, and we didn't elect them to do that. So that means that any little person who claims that they're a leader can come out and say that they're a spokesman for black people, like Al Sharpton or Reverend Jackson. We didn't elect these people to speak for us. You see, so we have to get in, we have to start thinking in terms of having a referendum among ourselves to decide who will be our national spokesperson.
I actually want to add on to that, too. A referendum at any local level is literally a savior to your group and to the development in which you happen to be in. Meaning, if you're in Phoenix, you're in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're in Dayton, Ohio, you're in New York, New York. If you're in any place where your district overwhelmingly says we don't want this, a referendum, which is very easy to put together, along with a simple-minded proposal, this could be mm-hmm. done. I'm telling you, it could be done by a 12-year-old child. Okay, your referendum is solely based on where the voting mechanism of your money is going to go. If you say we want a school and redistricting our finances, you can take it right out of the mouth of the city and say we're going to put it into this entity, and you no longer are the ones that are responsible for us. We can be responsible for ourselves collectively. This is, again, something that I've put together on a program. I don't necessarily want to put it all on the table now, but I can give you serious pointers instead of having leadership come to you and say, oh, well, we want to get a school. No, you don't need to get a school. All you need to do, you can even put your money together. If you got $50,000, you can get a matching grant from any go ahead. I'm sorry.
Professor Phil, we're going to do that on the 21st.
Oh,
you
yes.
have your school.
Okay.
21st. This is about the gay revenge over Proposition 8. Now, I want to touch on this off because we're over time right now, and I want to get this in. My queen, on her job, three times, the homosexuals know, basically, that most blacks don't agree with it. Because of their religious convictions, because of their, you know, convictions, period, as being human, a real human being, and not
a human being.
Yeah, and whatever the hell these white people are, Neanderthals or whatever you want to call them, you know, it's all their terminology anyway. But these people are something different than we are. And we are living under their culture, their ways, their mores, everything, and they even had the nerve to say America is morally bankrupt. And if you want to say morally bankrupt, look what we're living in today. And I'm telling you now, and I told people this 2-3 years ago, that once this gay stuff comes in, the animal stuff comes in next. It's already here, but it's going to be legal. The man-boy love thing is already here, but it's going to be legal. I mean, you can't even go to the neighborhood YMCA. So these people are going to come at you on your jobs everywhere because they know where you stand as a black person on this issue. Now, we have a lot of them converting to this way of this death style, you know. We have a lot of them agreeing with it because it's over their jobs. If you don't agree with it, you're fired. They can get you for discrimination because of the gays, just like discrimination on black people or discrimination on or whatever now is the new discrimination against these degenerate, you know, homosexuals that are the worst races in America. The worst races that hurt black people that we know of in America was a cross-dresser called J. Edgar Hoover. Some people saying he's black, I don't accept him. I don't care if he had 10 drops of black in him instead of one. I don't accept him. He's honorary white, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't even, the story about him being black, I think that's fictitious. You know, this man was the real beast. He hunted down Marcus Garvey. He hunted down the Black Panther Party. He even hunted down the NAACP, anybody. He was the most vicious racist. And you can see within the gay community, when you see all these gay pride and gay marches, you basically don't see blacks in any power inside that. They're just like the ones in America. Under white rule, you just here, you don't have no power, you're being used as a pawn. And I'm telling you gay guys and gay people out there, you are just a pawn of white supremacy being used to push their agenda and pushing it into your community and hurting your people. If you have any heart or any love for your people and your gay mind and body, you will not push this into our children. You will not try to indoctrinate the children. You will, as a human being, no matter how gay you are, you will not try to push this, because deep down in your mind and your heart, you know it's wrong. One of the highest suicide rates, if not the highest in the country, is amongst the gay people. Because in their minds, they're fighting this demon, but son, they succumb to it. But see, I want to save the children, because I believe deep in my mind, once you've been bent over and penetrated or licked and stuff by a girl, there's no real coming back. If you do come back, it's a miracle. But I could never really trust you around my children. I couldn't trust you even being around me, period, because I don't really want that demon spirit in my cipher in the first place. So we got to save our children before they get this way, because they're teaching it. This thing is pushed. I don't believe in the born gay stuff. I believe that it's pushed. That's why they're so hard. It's like they pushed a white woman. The beauty of the white woman on TV, that's all you see was white beauty, to the point where they got black women mimicking them to this day. It's the same way they push this gay stuff on television, billboards, everything in the school, in the churches now. And the churches are silent because of one man's bill, and that's Bush. President Bush with his Christian Initiative program, where they took the money. Now they can't speak about politics. They can't not let other races in the church. They cannot go against the gay thing, and they have to marry gays when they come to their door.
It's called buying them off. That's exactly what they did. They walked in and handed the money and said, "Now be quiet, please." That's exactly what they did, for real.
The preachers, yeah. The preachers have been brought off from day one. When the plantation preacher been brought off, the preachers always been brought. This is nothing new, but they've been brought off serious decadent stuff that they actually preached against. Like I was talking. Preached from Sodom and Gomorrah, and they couldn't even remember when they preached from Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're about to check out tonight, and this has been another episode of Wake Up African People. This is the Truth Doctor. Chime in with us on the 21st, and Professor Gilliam is going to be on talking about money, how to get money, how to grow money and use money for the benefit of our people, so we can elevate out of this economic disaster that we're in as a people, because we don't control anything in our community but the churches, maybe a liquor store here and there. Even the funeral parlors have been brought up by white and by blacks front.
Am I fault for going in there?
You're going against our rules, brother. You know what I'm saying? I told you them before. We're about to check. And then you can come on the 21st, and we're gonna let you go full flash with on your thing, whatever you want to talk about. So we are checking out tonight, and this has been another episode of Wake Up African People. This is the Truth Doctor. Good night.